I'm David Harrington. I play violin. I'm the artistic director and the founder of the Kronos Quartet.
I'm Laurie Spiegel. I'm a composer. I've done mostly electronic and computer music for the last quite a few decades. And I was converted to this new medium by Mort Subotnick.
This is Morton Subotnick. I'm a composer, performer, educator, and author. I said on the cover to Silver Apples of the Moon that this is the new chamber music. What I was referring to was the fact that the record itself, I felt that it was a new medium that would have music for it, that belonged on it. And where the record belongs is in your living room.
Well, I had never heard anything like this before. It was music that it was totally made by a machine. It was not music that I would ever be able to hear live in a concert hall.
There were two schools in electronic music. One was to imitate conventional reality and try to make sounds that sound like other things, the way Switched on Bach did. The other is to treat the medium as an entirely new, open-ended, completely free sonic canvas in which you can do absolutely anything with sound that you can imagine.
What I do in my studio is create, like a painter, studio art. I don't have I feel connected to the machine, but as if it were an easel. It's a feedback process between the machine and myself, and gradually the two of us come up with a piece of music.
It would be possible to feel threatened by Silver Apples of the Moon in 1967 if you were somebody that got out there and performed for a living. You know, is this going to take my work away, my life away? And now when I listen to it, I don't think that at all. I think this is really cool, and it's another way of thinking about music.
What I was doing studying composition up at Juilliard involved making lots of symbols for sounds on pieces of paper that I may or may not ever get to hear. And the feedback loop was really slow. But with the electronic instruments, you were actually working with the real sound. And you could then go out and play that tape for other people and they could hear it, whereas it may be years or never before anyone might ever hear what you write on paper.
In my studio on Bleecker Street, which was very close to where the rock bands were all playing down the street, and people from the Mothers of Invention and Grateful Dead, and people would come into my studio in the middle of the night while I was working. It was very interesting to me that the pop world totally understood the new medium and my use of it through technology, not just singing and playing, but using circuits to play one note after another, which sounds like something you couldn't be the first to do, but I was the first to do it.
It does sound of its time in a very interesting way. And in fact, you know, I have grandkids now, and some of the toys that they're playing with actually sound like Silver Apples on the Moon. It's kind of interesting.
Silver Apples of the Moon, when I heard that it was in the National Registry, but they had put it in, it's one of the most satisfying feelings I've ever had, because it's something I really believed in, something I'd hoped for in life, that I could be part of this world of the technology that was going to literally change everybody. The whole world was going to be affected deeply by the technology. And I wanted to be part of that. I wanted to offer my visions in it. And to have it end up at this point, I'm 77 now, as being accepted that way. And it's not because I wrote the most beautiful piece of music in the whole world. That's not what the National Register is about. It's about a moment in the recording world that was significant. And it's very gratifying, I must say, that to be permanently part of that.